some of the questions to from the table. But let me first thank honourable members for the comments. Indeed, there's been considerable progress made. The questions about the availability of guidelines that were raised by honourable Kupani, Mr. Mulewa will respond about whether the applicants will be vetted, whether applicants will have restrictions in when they apply, and what has happened to the rejected applications earlier. Honourable James, about education of the community, particularly given the misuse of drugs in South Africa. We have the Central Drug Authority, that is a partnership between the Department of Social Development and Health. Indeed, we really have a big problem in South Africa, and our view is that we probably need a slightly different approach on how we fight the drug problem, not just marijuana. And honourable members may recall that just the composition of Nyaope alone includes a whole lot of substances, including those that we even use in antiretroviral therapy. Like I said, we are also looking in that area how we can find other suitable alternatives that can still help us drive the AIDS program more aggressively while confronting the scourge. Honourable Tembekwa, the role of the Department of Agriculture, particularly with regard to monitoring and implementation of the guidelines. Mr. Mulewa will respond to that. But I just wanted to comment on the relationship we have with the Department of Agriculture. We work directly with the Agricultural Research Council because most of the work on hemp research is done by them, by the Agricultural Research Council. But I think we probably need a much more robust system, and I'll talk to that because it will answer some of the questions that were raised by some of the members, in particular Honourable Singh, about the process. Yes, indeed, that it has been quite an inclusive process. We've received comments, and that there is a need for education of the public. You might have seen, besides the comments, the reaction, the public reaction to the court ruling has been quite interesting, because we had some members of the public that has major concerns about substance abuse. And we also have others who want much more liberal policies about access. So it's a balance between the problem that we have in South Africa about the problem of drugs, but also the question of access. With regard to Section 21, I just wanted to explain a little bit the provisions of Section 21. Historically, when this section was formulated, it was specifically for purposes of a use of an unregistered medicine. But it also was for purposes of the use of a product, not only on a named patient basis or compassionate use, but in instances where one would like to conduct research. Like, for instance, if you want to conduct clinical trials, you submit a protocol, and it's a basis on which you can then access an unregistered product in the country. So that has somehow evolved, and we're still mindful of the fact that Section 21 is not an alternative route for industry to avoid registering products. So, and it should not be used as such. But it should be used in such a way that people must be able to conduct research. And in the event of compassionate use, let's say people need a particular medicine, and we've seen that particularly for cancer. where patients were able to access cancer medication at low cost because there were no registered product in the country. Hemp and hemp products in South Africa. I just want to say that if you check, sometimes the public, precisely because of maybe lack of education and information, sometimes hemp cannabis are used interchangeably, and that should not be the case. That should not be the case, even though both hemp and cannabis come from the same plant. Cannabis and hemp are the same genus cannabis, and the species is Cannabis sativa. But there are variations. But as to whether you have hemp or cannabis, it also depends on the yields, and it also depends on the quantities. And hemp actually has significant industrial use. If a country wants to build their economy, it is in this area that the country makes investment. I just want to give you just a few examples of industrial application of hemp. The first one, the hemp seed, is used to produce, and maybe I shouldn't be saying this because I come from health, but it is used for beer. Hemp is used for producing flour. I'm just stating the facts, Chair. Hemp is used for snacks. The hemp oil is used for salad dressings, is used for fuel, is used for paint, is used for detergents. Hemp fiber is not only used to produce fabric. Chair, it is used to produce paper. It's used to produce carpets. It's used to produce automobile parts. You know a car, the dashboard. It's used to produce dashboards for cars. The ceiling boards, it's used for that purpose. I'm just saying it has very broad and wide industrial applications, hemp. So I was just saying that it's probably something that, you know, Department of Agriculture, Department of Science and Technology, Department of Trade and Industry, must invest in this particular area. The kind of requests that we've historically received for hemp, the Agricultural Research Council has largely been for the Eastern Cape activities and for production of, I think for yield research to produce fabric. And that it hasn't, at least those that I've seen, Chair, as you noticed, he mentioned DGs repeatedly. Those that have been brought to my attention. I just thought perhaps I needed to show that there is significant industrial application and use for the country. Now, if you look at how different countries have defined health, and I'm happy that Mr. Mulewa has mentioned that ISCB actually leaves it to the country to come up with those definitions in the regulations. For instance, Health Canada, which is an equivalent of the NCC, defines the product of cannabis sativa, like for instance hemp, as having or containing less than 0.3% of THC. In the meantime, the US definition of hemp is about all parts of cannabis sativa plant. You see, South Africa can also come up with a definition, but within the context of these international obligations that we're subject to. So, Chair, I will leave the rest of the questions to Mr. Mulewa. Or maybe before that, let me respond to Mr. Honorable Seniors, I've answered, I think, the questions, except that you wanted to know about the research institutions. Chair, we, have, if you look at the Medicines Control Council, it regulates even the conduct of research if that research contains a product that is regulated in terms of the Medicines Act. But the Medical Research Council is actually our institution that should be driving this research agenda. Equally, the Agricultural Research Council is an institution that should be conducting a hemp-related research. So the one on how government can support the research centers, I think we probably have to sit down with the Department of Science and Technology. Chair, you might be aware that the Minister of Department of Science and Technology has actually called for creation of one vehicle for funding research in the country, whether it be Agricultural Research Council, Medical Research Council, or Human Science Research Council, all related scientific bodies in the country. So there's been that call, and I think this is an opportunity to promote this work. The treating physician must be a specialist. Yes, Chair, I actually am of the view that if you just limit this to a specialist, it might be restrictive. The way, if you look at how medicines are controlled on how they are prescribed, particularly in public sector settings, Chair, you may recall during your days that you had a statement that consultant to sign. That restriction was purely because it wasn't because specialists would know better or what. It's because in that particular field, yes, indeed, they would know better. But also to limit just, you know, uncontrolled prescribing. So you need mechanism by which people don't just prescribe any medicine for anything and anyhow. So you need what we call rational use. Now, for rational use, if having a specialist is restrictive, we probably need to look at how best this physician will report on a regular basis. Maybe we need some vehicles, but it's probably food for thought and further work that is needed by the Medicines Control Council. Honorable Masalela, the question that you raise about whether we still need this bill, I think this is a significant move, to move from provisions that allowed for in the past actually were restrictive in that you said handling, using was illegal, to provision that says you can actually have access even though it's still regulated, but it's not prohibitive in a sense that you've down scheduled, you've changed the schedule from a higher schedule to a lower one. That on its own is progressive, and I think if I were to express an opinion, I would say it's a very positive move forward. So with regard to research that can be undertaken, I firmly believe, Chair, it's opportune not just for medicines only, for human use, but also for industrial application, like the lists that I read, and I think it's a potential for the country broadly for industrial application. A capacity of the MCC to work with research institutions. If you look at laws that apply in other countries, and I'm hoping that with SAPRA, this mechanism will be put in place. There are provisions that are called pre-IND. Pre-IND means you start engaging research institutions even before you start your research. You sit around the table with a regulatory agency. You share with them your plan for the future. If you're going to conduct clinical studies, you tell them that this is your plan so that the communication between yourself as a researcher and the regulatory agency, communication is enhanced. And equally, if you're going to do preclinical studies, like for instance, you test the product in animals, even that process, you engage. So I think that SAPRA will have to create a mechanism by which they have a guideline on what I call pre-IND, meaning pre-submission of any request, meaning you don't start engagement when your product or application is in and you start engagement. You start in advance, and I think that will enhance communication. The one about SAPRA Chair is an update. The president did proclaim, the regulations were published for comment, they were finalized, the minister will be announcing the board soon. There were 180 applications, people who nominated, who were nominated to serve on the board. And this is a board of 15 people, so the minister had to apply his mind on how he reduced from that number to 15. So it has to be a much robust process. So very soon the staff of MCC have received letters informing them that they will be part of, and we've been engaged in labor in a very vigorous way, just assuring them that staff is not going to lose their benefits, but also the concerns about how MCC will be efficient in future, how is it going to work. But we also don't want to preempt, you know, what the board will say, but we're trying also to guide staff. I'll hand over to Mr. Mulewa.
Over to you, Mr. Mulewa.
Thank you, Chair. With regard to the issue of personnel, what we have to be mindful is that now cannabis being a Schedule 6 substance for personal use, and which is prone to abuse, we need to be very careful who do we allow, especially with the top management who is allowed, who is being given the permit. Because our fear in the MCC, if at all we don't do that, we'll end up giving that permit to the wrong person and then having unintended consequences, where people will just now legally plant cannabis and then plant it onto our streets and then add to our woes of the drug problem. So that's the way we intend. But the how part of it is one thing which we are still working on it to say now. Because we have engaged now SAPS to look into the how part of it. We haven't finalized that piece of document. As soon as it's finalized, we will also put it onto the website and say, this is what's going to happen. And when an application is received, there will be inspectors. There'll be a joint inspection. Let me put it that way. There'll be a joint inspection between the department and SAPS to look at all those issues, whether it be security, whether it be the personnel vetting and that whole thing, and we will. But should we find that now, the say for instance, the person can be sort of rehabilitated. We can have condition, and then maybe restrict, I mean, it's just something which we need to ponder, then restrict the area for plantation. Instead of using this big area, so now you're going to use it in a confined space for this type of thing. You know, that would be, those are some of the things which we are busy trying to consider. And then the rejected ones, once we rejected that person, we will definitely go to that person, tell that person, so now, your application has been rejected. You feel vetting because of the following condition. And if at all that person can come back later to show cause that now things have been done on the personnel side to improve the security, or if that person has failed the vetting system.
Sorry, Mr. Mulewa.
Okay.
Sorry.
As I said, now that person will be contacted, and that we don't just reject the person and then just leave it as it is. There will have to be that consultation with the person, so that now everything comes more. I mean, we are dealing now in a transparent world. Everything is going to be transparent. You have to do everything in a transparent way. Even the person feels rejected, I mean, there's still a mechanism of appealing to the MCC, to the DG, to the minister, so that the proper procedures have not been followed, and then we can engage on to those things. That's one. And the role of DAF in monitoring, if you recall, in my presentation, I said DAF will have to advise us on the good agricultural practices, which we can verify, have methods of verification. I mean, at the end product, where we can take the product to the lab for testing and other things. That would be limited to that, because it's not it's not a food producing plant. It's a medicine. This one, the whole monitoring will be done by the department. They will come and advise us in the years, with this one, this is what to do. With the soil condition here, this is what to expect and that whole thing, which we will also, like I said, now when we do some of the inspection, we will involve them so that they can come in to see. So now, okay, we are dealing in this environment, and then dealing in this environment, this is what you can do, or this is what you can expect.
Because this is a plant, and pesticides are used in most instances where medicinal plants are used for human use. There are certain tests that are conducted to check for what you call impurities. And there are certain exclusions up front that are needed. You exclude for lead. These are, in most instances, what I call carcinogens, like you exclude for mercury, you exclude for all types of substances that should not be contained in products that will eventually be used for human consumption. So in this particular regard, for that purpose, it would be good that we get guidance from agriculture as to which types of, say, pesticides are used, which types of agricultural settings there are, because they regulate that environment. But from our side, what we want is what you call good agricultural practice for picking, because also, depending on the yields, we have to understand whether this type of plant has good yields or low yields and so on. So those are the things that I think they've got expertise in, and they will be guiding us. Over to you.
Thank you, DJ, for that. And the other question was regarding the hemp, the time frames. Yes, it's true, the research has been going on, ARC research has been going on, and then the final report was submitted by the growers, ARC, NAMAC. NAMAC is the agricultural marketing unit for agriculture. They submitted their report. That report is sitting now with agriculture for consideration. And that's the one where we said now we will be engaging them very soon to see now, to clarify the roles and responsibility. Because in the past, the department was dragged into the hemp because nobody understood the plant itself. How was it? But now, based on the results and that also, we have seen that now the really definitely the THC of the hemp plant growing in South Africa is still within limits. So it's not a controlled substance. So that is still lying now with us. And something now, it will be now that consultative meeting where we will do the roles and responsibilities, we'll define those. And then once it's defined, then agriculture can just release to go ahead to start now doing the hemp cultivation. Yep. There was also a concern, I think, from Honorable Singh that it was a money-making scheme. Big Pharma will come in and that thing. We are looking at this thing from the department. We are looking at it holistically. Any person who qualifies will be given. Yes, we have that criteria. So we'll look at people's costs. What we are concerned about is a quality product. Even if we find that now the person is ignorant about quality production, we will work with that person all the way. Because that's what we do normally with the pharmaceutical. Any person who wants to manufacture or distribute pharmaceutical products, when they start up, we work with them, and then they do the installation, then we come and inspect, then we give them recommendations and our business where we should be going, and then they start improving. And then once they've reached a certain level, then we say that we can start now producing on this limited capacity. That's a concept that we will bring over to kind of, because cannabis, I mean, growing is a new area. We don't expect miracles where we say now everybody apply and then everybody is just on board. We will work with those people. When you go in and do inspections, we will do. I mean, in the guideline documents, one of the things we said now, we will consider that person, for instance, if told he's got a site master plan. But we haven't seen the agricultural aspect, acumen of that person, whether they do meet the agricultural requirements. We will do it, and then from there, work with that person all the way and then come back. Yes, Big Pharma will come in with their big money and that other thing. We will consider them also and then see how best can and then strike the balance. But our emphasis, like we said, now we just want to create this opportunity for small pharma to come up and then start now feeding into. Probably the Big Pharma might come at the tail end where they do now the extraction, then can feed in into that that open.
So, Chair, I think we've tried to cover most of the questions.
No, thank you very much. For me, it's just this issue of the Big Pharma, the monopoly that is likely to prevail. Who and how is that process going to be monitored of ensuring that every the up and coming farmers do have that opportunity? The second one, maybe I don't know whether it will be relevant now. As we speak, we know for a fact that in the areas in the eastern side of the Eastern Cape, we have got a whole huge plantation of cannabis. How is that going to be managed? I do understand that it can't be the responsibility of health only, but it's the law enforcement agencies. But with these regulations that are coming in, how is that process and that environment going to be managed and controlled and monitored? Thank you.
Chair, I'll respond to the first question. The second I will present to Griffiths to respond. Just on a question of monopoly, I don't know whether honourable members are aware of the policy that the Department of Trade and Industry has come up with of the patent policy. And the patent policy is aimed at looking at how best to improve access. And it's a long history, Chair, in a sense that there's been debates about intellectual property rights and whether countries can produce their own generics and within the framework of the TRIPS flexibilities. So what we've done, we've actually worked with the Department of Trade and Industry, and in October there will be a meeting, because we've worked in partnership to formulate some of the provisions in that policy. So at least with that policy environment, Chair, I don't foresee a problem with problems of monopoly, because that policy has been formulated in a manner that will promote access. Where I think we'll probably have to look carefully as to how we facilitate approval process is maybe the question that was raised earlier about restrictions on who applies. For instance, an instance where one individual has 20 licenses, it sort of blocks others from applying. And in that respect, I guess it's a process that MCC will have to come up with good administrative requirements so that you don't have one applicant taking over the whole space, which tends to happen from time to time. I think that is a matter that must be dealt with administratively, but with clear standard operating procedures. So the one on Chair, that there are some lawyers that have already informed us that their members have planted huge quantities of cannabis. So like I was saying, you know, cannabis versus hemp, we still have to ensure that it is hemp, it is not cannabis, and the yields are different, and the quantities are different. And I think our inspectors will obviously have to go and establish facts. But I'll hand over to Mr. Mleo.
Thank you, DJ. Regarding the, when we start now, our view is that now, when we start now going into the issue of license, there has to be a mechanism, which is still left to be decided, of educating the public on the issuing of this license. Because, I mean, we don't want to reach a stage where we are going to reject, we receive 20 licenses and then reject them all because of administrative errors and other things. Or where a person will come in and say, now, but I've got 20 hectares which I've already planted. And that will have to be done in the context. So we'll have to go out and look at those areas where we pick up problems. I mean, it's the same Cape, you look at also Venda area, you look at also the Mpumalanga, Lydenburg area. Those are problematic, if that I might call them, problematic areas where we need to go in to do it. Like I said, the modalities we haven't actually come with, but it's something which we have to do with the law enforcement. And then how we're going to do it, and then and hopefully by then we'll be having now the response from the INCB to say now this is the quantity which we can. But also the quantity have to be dependent on the consumption in the country. It's pointless to go and request a ton of cannabis. And then when we do the return the following year, you say that my consumption from this ton is about a kilo. But once you do that, what INCB will do, we'll slash it down. Yeah. So now it comes to a kilo, and it will be killing. So it has to be, it's a whole concept. It has to be done in a rational way, and then we go in, talk to the people, show them the dangers. And now, if overproduced, this is what's going to happen. If you underproduce, yes, again, that whole thing. And come up with those modalities.
No, honorable members, I do think that we have received quite an informative responses from the department, which are then going made us to be more empowered. Yes, there is it's a journey that we are to work together, which has got some little bit of some fears here and there. The rate of how to ensure that we keep corruption, we keep fraud, the integrity of people that are going to be assigned. That is why the question always comes that the capacity of the institution, of the MCC in dealing with this. So I think it's quite it's really, those questions are questions that are very profoundly important And I think as the committee, we are really comfortable. And I do think that Honorable Singh, IFP to Honorable Singh, and want to thank you formally with our whip, because as the chair, I took a conscious decision in ensuring that I delegate the whip to navigate with you in moving forward, and I received reports that at least there is cooperation. And good things don't come easy. So we may have taken long, but it's not for the benefit of us, it's for the benefit of the country. And I think what Honorable James raised in terms of the empowerment of the communities, that is very important. It is going to be very important, and I agree with you, DG. I was comfortable when I was watching the balance. Those that are saying, no, the term that we use as we grew up, Daha, no. So there was that balance. Then how then do we enhance that so that ordinary people, they do understand that it's not about anything else, it's about health, and we are concerned. As we have once said in the initial sittings, that the majority of us, we understand, the panic is that we understand the impact of this injustice, and if it is used, it is not managed, it is not controlled, it is not regulated. So thank you very much. Sorry, Honorable Ndaba, welcome. Sorry, sister. So I think we are at this stage. We will still have to come back, Honourable Members. We want to just put up front, we're still in consultation with the whip. We think that on the 13th of August, now we must come back and then look into all October, of October, 13th of October. And we know the 13th of October, unfortunately, Honourable Members, is on Friday. Please, Honourable Members, please block it now, because we would appreciate the full complement of the committee when then we are finally going to say what is it that we are saying. So we're not going to be pronouncing on that now, but we will then look into that. So the 13th of August is on a Friday, I know, on October. The 13th of October. Because my parents were born in August, both of them. So August is an important month for me. It's on Friday. Please, Honorable Members, that's why we're saying it now, Honorable Singh, so that you sort up your diary. The department sort out its diary. So now, thank you very much. I was saying, just on a lighter note, I was saying to the gentleman from the media, I thought this room was going to be overflowing with members of the group. I thought it was, in fact, I panicked when it was said V119. I said, sure, we're going to have a room full. And we find it a bit, himself also, he said, I'm finding a bit, but that is not for us. People are going to, we will be asked questions, which is fine, but thank you very much, DG. We're happy. That, and again, Honorable Singh, thank you very much with your team. Now, this session, we're done. Thank you. We will then go back to our agenda. We are waiting for now. I don't know, Honorable Singh, is there anything that you want to say? So that I don't...
No, Chair, but I just wanted to also echo my appreciation to you and to the committee and to the DG and Medicine Control Council. And as I said to Honorable Masalela, before the 13th of October, we're going to make arrangements to engage informally. And so we can come and consider the desirability of the bill and then take it from there. I think that's the understanding that we have. Thank you.
No, thank you very much. Is Neha around? Not yet. They're coming at 2. We are going to... We are just going to adjourn for now until lunch is going to be served on our members. So 1 o'clock, people must come back. It can't be a wasteful expenditure, please. So thank you very much. We'll meet at 2 o'clock.
Thank you very much.